Life of the Paddy Shears, Elizabeth Easter, good morning.
I was just thinking you chose that for the two of us, didn't you? Those Christmas parties, they're quite something.
Oh, I forgot about that. Our little, yeah, it feels like a million years ago, doesn't it? Now, what have you been reading?
Although, let's say for the listeners that they are very sedate and very elegantly, they're not at all dancing on the tables, are they?
No, they're not. No, they're not. Christmas feels a long time ago and a long time away.
Doesn't it?
So the book is The Glass Hotel by Emily. I say St. John because that's how I was taught to say it when I was younger.
What? You fancy.
It's spelled St. John.
So you know that that's a shibboleth, and if you don't say St. John, all the people who are fancy pantsers will look down on you. So, yes, you will be admired by a certain listener right now.
I don't know how Emily St. John or St. John Mandel says it, so my apologies to
you. Canadian. Oh, she, I think she is anyway, and she lives in America, so she could say all sorts of things because they're strange over there. Now, the reason I put my hand up for this so swiftly, as lovely Louise will attest, I read Emily St. John Mandel's Station 11 a few years ago, which is an amazing book about a pandemic called the Georgia flu, which kills 99% of the world's population, which means like just civilization collapses. And it was such a good book, one of those books that really stays with you. And I kept, whenever I would ask people, have you read Station 11? And if they said no, I'd be like, oh, because I really wanted other people to have read it. So that's a great book. Obviously, I'm not reviewing it. So The Glass Hotel, which I am reviewing, is a multi-character time-jumping novel with almost elements of a ghost story, but it's never beyond the bounds of what's plausible. It's not airy-fairy stuff. And at the very opening, it's not instantly obvious what's going on. It's quite poetic, more than blatant plot-driving, and it totally makes sense as you continue, as you'd hope. So December 2018, it's quite handy because everything is dated when you're swinging through it. So you're like, oh, right, okay, oh, there we are. And the opening is quite ambiguous. A woman is falling. She's falling off a ship, perhaps. Then she's reminded of being 13 and scrawling words on a window. She's reminded of her brother, who's just not in good shape. He's not well. She recalls a moment on the beach of her remote childhood Canadian coastal home, repeating to herself that she wants to go home. And it's very, very kind of visceral. And it's quite unsettling and destabilizing and cutting between times. And then, boom, we get to 1994 and 1999, and the foundations of all the various characters are laid. So this is one of those books where the characters are as important as what happens, and their lives are woven into the fabric of the events. And so one of them is Paul, the amoral, druggy, ne'er-do-well musician who's flunking out at everything from college to rehab. He's not especially appealing, I have to say, and he's a bit of a thief of creative things as well as other stuff, and also has a very amoral approach to giving some people some bad drugs in a club early on, which does not go well. But he's a very well-drawn character. Then, boof, we're off to spring 2005, and we get a better look at his half-sister, the orphaned Vincent, who's named for the poet Edna St. Vincent Millay, if you wonder why there's a girl called Vincent. And she now works at the eponymous Glass Hotel, which sounds amazing, like this big glass edifice in this sort of singularly remote Canadian coastal woods area. You can only get there by boat. I really want to go there, wherever it's based on. And that's when the action really gets started. So we're at the Glass Hotel when one of the hotel's giant picture windows has graffiti scrawled on it, which is kind of interesting because Vincent early on at 13 has scrawled on a window at school, and it says, "Why don't you eat broken glass?" which is quite a harsh thing to write on a window. And because there are so few people in this very remote hotel thing, it's not hard to figure out who wrote it. Vincent's working behind the bar. There's a wealthy shipping executive called Leo Provant, who is coincidentally a character in Station 11. There are about three or four people from Station 11 who turn up in this book. Not that it's related to the pandemic or anything, but the Georgia flu is referenced, and these characters turn up, which I quite like, because I felt like I'd sort of been reacquainted with some old friends. So anyway, we've got Vincent behind the bar. Her ne'er-do-well druggy brother, half-brother Paul, is there just short-term to get himself together. The shipping magnate, and on his way into the hotel that night, is going to be the millionaire owner of the hotel. Turns out Paul did the defacing, but it's really hard to know why he did it and what does it allude to. And obviously you do find that out. And the payoff is amazing. And you'd never guess anyway the reasons for that. That's such a good moment in the book. So this very strange evening, the outcome of it that Vincent the barwoman and Jonathan Alkalitis, who is the hotel owner and millionaire financier, they hook up. And a whole new portion of Vincent's life is ignited, and she becomes a kept woman. She's in her mid-20s. Jonathan's like 60-something, so it's sugar daddy dude. And then questions start to be asked. Where does all this money come from? Bearing in mind that this part of the story is set at the onset or the kind of the beginning of the global financial crisis when everything's collapsing. And I'm not spoiling anything to say that this is in part a book about Ponzi schemes. So all these threads, these tangled lives, and the one thing I think Emily St. John Mandel, you've got me saying it now, just beautifully woven. And I don't want to give too much away at this point because there is some rather spectacular white collar crime, some stolen intellectual property. I loved it. And also a character runs away to sea, and you can never go wrong with that.
Thank you. Elizabeth Easter is highly recommending The Glass Hotel by Emily St. John Mandel, published by Macmillan. $35 the price.